Well, pray with me as we prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that's here in this building with us today. Lord, that by your Spirit, you move and work in our hearts and lives. By your Spirit, Lord, and through your word, Lord, you break up the fallow ground. Lord, you reach deep down inside of us and do a work in our hearts. And Lord, we invite you to do that today. We believe for you to do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. But we are in a series called Healthy Heart, Healthy Life. This morning we're going to be talking about the shallow heart. Your heart is very important to God. He knows that so goes your heart, so goes your life. The Greek word for heart is cardia. It's where we get our word cardiac, and it literally refers to the physical heart. But in Scripture, it is used to refer to man's entire moral and mental activity. It refers to both the rational part of us and also the emotional part. It refers to our thought life, our attitude. It also refers to our emotions, our desires, our intentions, and even the decisions and choices that we make. So when the Scripture speaks of the heart, it's talking about your inner thoughts, attitudes, feelings, and ultimately, what you choose. Your heart is so important because your heart determines the outflow of your life. All of the activities of your life, the things that you think, say, and do, it all flows out of your heart. Luke 6:45, Jesus said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart." You see, healthy heart, healthy life. Proverbs 4:23, the Bible tells us, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." We need to be wise about our hearts, because out of your heart is the wellspring of life. Everything in your life flows out of your heart. Now, Jesus tells us a parable to illustrate to us four different types of hearts. We're going to read about that in Luke chapter 8. And we read it last week, but I want to go through that passage again. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 4. The first three types of hearts were unproductive. The seed of the Word of God produced no fruit in their life. The last one had tremendous results, where the Word of God, the seed of the Word of God, produced a successful life, a successful harvest. So we're going to begin reading there from verse 4. "While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." Then in verses 11 through 15, he explains the parable to us. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a little while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. The first thing that we need to see, again, is the seed is the Word of God. If we receive that seed and it grows up and produces a harvest in us, the Bible says that we believe and are saved. And again, that word saved doesn't just mean to be born again. It is the Greek word sozo that means to be healed, to be made whole. It means to be delivered. It means to be preserved. And one definition of that word is to caused to do well. You know what? You see that evidenced in the Scripture, that the Word of God has that power in it to produce freedom in our life, victory in our life, for us to be successful and prosperous. It's the key to a healthy life, an abundant life. But the seed is always the same, listen, no matter which type of soil it's sown into, the seed has the power in it to reproduce. What determines your harvest, whether or not you even have a harvest, is what type of heart you have. It's the condition of our hearts that determine whether or not the seed will bring fruit in our life. The first type of heart we talked about last week, the hard heart, those are those who hear the word of God, and the soil of their heart is like the beaten path. The seed never even gets into their heart. Their hearts have become hard, whether it's through sin or unbelief or because of hurts and disappointments. Their hearts have become hard and they're not receptive to the word of God. It never even gets into their heart. Then he says, some seed fell on rocky soil. Now, in Matthew's gospel, when this same parable is related, the New Living Translation says it this way, other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The plant sprang up quickly, but they soon wilted beneath the hot sun and died because the roots had no nourishment in the shallow soil. See, when Jesus was talking about the seeds being sown on a rock, he wasn't just talking about absolutely bare rock. It says it sprang up. Well, you can throw seeds on bare rock and it won't spring up at all. It won't do anything but just lay there and cook in the sun. But he was talking about shallow soil, rocky soil, that had a little bit of dirt there, and the seed sprang up quickly. But then when the sun arose, when the time of testing came, it died just as quickly. It never produced a harvest. Now, some people might think, well, if it's rocky soil, that would be the hard heart. But no, the hard heart never even receives the seed at all. The rocky soil readily receives. In fact, it receives with joy. It's when people hear the word of God and they get excited about it. Now listen, having joy about hearing the word is a good thing. We don't need to come to church with a long face. No, we need to be joyful about hearing the word of God and be excited. You know, when God says something in His word, listen, His promises are good. He wants to bless us. It's good. We should be joyful and excited about the Word of God. That's a good thing. And the seed that fell on rock, it fell on hearts that were open and receptive. They were excited to receive the Word, but they didn't have roots. And so it quickly died away. See, there's a lot of people that get excited about the Word, but because they have no root, it's just a few days or weeks down the road that they've given up and maybe even forgotten about the Word that they had heard altogether. Jesus said, they believe for a little while. For a little while, they believe. See, that's the beginning place. We hear the Word and we believe. We're on the road to receiving what God has for us in our life, what He wants to do in and through us. But He said they believe for a little while. We've seen so many come to church. Some make a big deal about how they're going to serve God. I can remember a time when might see 20 people come forward for salvation. 6 weeks later, none of them came to church. How does that happen? Oh, they were excited. They were joyful. But they were shallow. That seed of the Word of God never got very far down into their heart. It never grew roots. Oh, it grew up quickly. It looked good. Oh, look at the harvest. But in reality, there was no harvest. We see it happen with people who come to the Lord sometimes. They receive the word, but when it gets tough, they're gone. We also see it happen in Christians' lives, in our own lives, when we hear the word, we get all fired up and excited about something. Maybe we heard somebody preach about prayer, and we got all fired up about prayer and how we're going to pray all the time. We're going to see great things happen. But 6 months down the road, what happened to that word? Did we get roots? Did it go down deep into our heart, and so it's producing results? It's producing fruit in our life now? Or did it just fade away after a short period of time? And sometimes people get all excited about witnessing, and, you know, we hear the word about missions or reaching out to others. We get all fired up about it. What's going on with that same word a year from now? Is it producing results in our life? Or because we got embarrassed, or maybe we felt rejection when we tried to talk to somebody about the Lord, it was, oh, I don't want to do that anymore. When the time of testing came. See, I used to see a lot of young people, a youth pastor for so many years, I'd see a lot of young people that would say, oh, I believe what the Scripture says about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers in relationships. But then as the years would go by and they would have the time of testing, all of a sudden, they would change what they believed. They no longer believed that. They believed for a little while. Now, if you're looking for somebody to date, there might be some issues there we could talk about. But if you're looking for somebody to date, a year or two seems like a long time. Now, how many of you have lived long enough to know that a year or two is not very long? But they believed for a little while. Pastor's picking on the young people. Listen, we all do it in different areas of our lives where we hear the word and we say, yeah, that's good. Man, I believe that. But do we still believe it a year, 2 years down the road? See, sometimes people hear teaching on giving or tithing and they say, well, yeah, I believe that. Man, that's straight out of the word. I believe that. I'm excited about that. Man, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. Wow, that's exciting. But then, when the time of testing comes, Jesus said there's a time of testing that comes. When the time of testing comes, see, then when the stock market crashes, when they lose their job, when things just go haywire, when things go wrong, then do they still believe it? Or did they just believe for a little while? I'm telling you, when we only believe for a little while, here's the key issue. It's a shallow heart. It's that we don't have roots. Because if we really have roots, then we'll believe no matter what it looks like in the circumstances of life. You see, the circumstances don't change the Word of God. Do we really believe God's Word? Do we have it deep down enough in our hearts where it's going to continue to grow until it produces a harvest in our life? Key issue is that we have to have roots. Without roots, our faith fails, and the seed of the word never produces a crop in our life. Shallow hearts are those with shallow commitment. They're fair weather Christians. They serve the Lord when it's convenient, maybe even when it feels good, as long as it's easy, as long as it doesn't hurt any. As long as it doesn't cost anything, I'm going to tell you the truth this morning. If you're really going to follow the Lord, if you're going to be a real Christian and follow the Lord, it's going to cost you. That's not popular in America today. We want a Christianity that just makes us feel a little better about ourselves. But that cheap gospel doesn't change lives. What changes lives is when you become a new creature and you wholeheartedly follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it takes. It takes that kind of commitment that's willing to agree with the Scripture and say, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We belong to Him. It's a wholehearted commitment. But you see, anything less than that, a shallow commitment, and when the time of testing comes, it won't last. Jesus said, you got to count the cost. If you're going to follow me, you've got to count the cost. And he gives us the example of a man that goes out to build a building, and he hasn't counted the cost of what it's going to take to finish. And he gets halfway through and he's not able to finish. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christian lives that were just halfway done. They served the Lord for a little while and then they checked out. If every person that's ever put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior was in church this morning, we couldn't hold them all. Talk about a church on every corner. There's not enough to even hold those who have already been born again. The problem is there's a lot of half-baked Christians. Why? Because their commitment was shallow. Their heart was shallow. The seed of the word got in, but then when the time of testing came, they fell away. Fell away. Some people say, oh, I don't believe in that. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said they fell away. They believed for a little while, but when the time of testing came, they fell away. Shallow hearts. Those with shallow commitment. We got to turn our lives over to Him. It takes a wholehearted commitment to truly serve the Lord and to see the fruit of the seed of the Word of God born in our life. Young people, it's easy to serve the Lord when you're at youth camp. You say, oh, I'm going to really serve God. I'm going to really serve God. But it's a little bit different. It takes more commitment to serve the Lord when you're back at school and you want to be popular, you want to be well-liked, but you're afraid somebody's going to laugh at you. I want to tell you something. Nobody laughs at the Christian when trouble comes. Nobody was laughing at Noah when it started raining. And nobody laughs now. I'm telling you, when trouble comes, nobody laughs at the Christians. On 9/11, I think it still is the record attendance for churches in America. Why? Because when trouble comes, listen, you're the one they're going to turn to. You're the one they're going to look to. If they're laughing at you now, don't worry about it. Because they won't be laughing when trouble comes. And trouble comes to us all. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And I'll tell you, church, we need to remember that. We're going to have trouble, but we're going to overcome if we'll stick with the Lord and stick with the Word of God and see it produce its harvest in our life. It takes real commitment. Shallow hearts are shallow devotional lives. Prayer is the heartbeat of the Christian life. It's all about a relationship with God. Without prayer, you don't have much of a relationship. Little prayer equals little relationship. A shallow prayer life will lead to no roots. You can't have deep roots and not have a prayer life. It's real quiet in here. I'm preaching good right now, and some of us need to hear that. You can't have a real relationship with the Lord. You can't have deep roots and not have a prayer life. Shallow prayer leads to no roots. Shallow in the Word. Listen, it's not enough to dabble in it. A lot of Christians look at the Bible kind of like they did one of those subjects in school that they thought, well, you know, I have to learn a little of this now just to get by the test and then forget it all. They look at it as something that, you know, it's for the preacher or some fanatic to study. Listen, this is your roadmap to life. This is how God tells you how He wants you to live. This is spirit and life to us. It is our daily bread to feed our spirits. This is the promises of God so that we might believe. This is the key, church, to us being blessed every day in our life. You can't just dabble in the Word. If you're a Christian, if you want to be a real Christian, you can't just get a little bit of the Word here and there. That's shallow. You need to put some deep roots down and dig into the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You need to get serious about the Bible. Serious about studying God's Word. Shallow hearts have a shallow love. It's just the result of shallow commitment and a shallow devotional life. It's a shallow love. A lot of people say, oh, I love God, and yet they don't obey Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me. It's a shallow faith. They believe for a little while, but when the times of testing come, they fall away. That's shallow. A real faith, a strong faith, a deep-rooted faith will last even when all of the circumstances of life are against you. We need to have that kind of faith. Even when it seems like all of hell is against us. Because it is. When someone has a shallow heart and trouble comes, they walk away, they give up. Anybody that thinks that being a real Christian is just going to be easy is in for a shock and some disappointment, because there's going to be hard times. Now, we read in the Bible that the way of the transgressor is hard. And in the end, we know that that's true. That those that go against the Lord and don't serve God, in the end, there's going to be disaster. The way of the transgressor is hard. But the Bible says the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. That's us. But listen, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some battles and some struggles, some of that trouble Jesus talked about. There's going to be difficult days. Listen, there's going to be a trying of your faith. Jesus said, and when the day of testing comes, those with a shallow heart fall away. This morning, as I said last week, I don't believe that the Lord was telling us that there are going to be some with a good and noble heart that receive the gospel and the three-fourths of everybody else, just too bad for you because your heart wasn't right. No, I believe, if anything, this was a warning. This is to teach us, to show us, to correct us, to let us know we can't have a shallow heart. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God to break up that fallow ground, to dig out that old rocky soil so that our hearts will be able to get the Word of God deep down inside. There are a lot of people that follow the Lord for a little while. You know, that's not a new thing. As Jesus walked this earth and people saw the miracles that He did, there were a lot of people that followed Him just for a little while. And then, when times got tough, where were they? In fact, sometimes it was just from His teaching. When He said, unless you eat My flesh and drink My blood, they all left. I tell you, there are lots of people that followed the Lord for a little while. It's still the same today. So many people say, oh, that's good. Yeah, I want to be a Christian. And yet, where are they a year from now, 10 years from now? Are they still serving the Lord? Jesus said, when the testing comes, they fall away. People say, oh, I'm going to live for God. I want to really do something for God. But they don't have any root. They don't pray. They don't have a devotional life. No real personal relationship with Jesus. No real commitment. And when trouble comes, when it gets hard, when it's not convenient anymore, they're not going to follow through. And the end result is the seed of the Word of God brings forth no fruit in their life. We got to have roots. Here in Luke chapter 8, it says they fall away. In the Gospel of Mark, in the King James Version, it says they are offended. You know, some people readily accept the Word. They say, oh, that's good, but when testing comes, when a battle comes, when somebody does something that offends them, then they're gone. Somebody does something wrong to you, and you say, oh, I'm gonna quit, I give up. Listen, your relationship is with Jesus. Your commitment is to Jesus. You need to make up your mind that you're going to serve Jesus as Lord, not dependent upon what other people say or do, not dependent upon the circumstances of life. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. People may have let you down. People may have hurt you and wronged you, even church people and preachers. But Jesus never has. He's never wronged you. He's never hurt you. He's never done anything that would disappoint you. I tell you, Jesus is faithful. And people say, well, I don't go to church because this one did this to me and this one did this. What did Jesus do to you? What is it you don't love about Jesus? And why aren't you serving Him? See, that's a shallow commitment. When you put what other people said and did between you and the Lord, that's shallow. Nobody gets between me and Jesus. That's the way it has to be. One of the saddest things that happened in my ministry, in all my years of ministry, I pastored a church and my family and I were cleaning the church for several years just to save some money and to actually to stop some strife. And so we were cleaning the church and the Lord sent somebody. A person came to the church and they said, they rededicated their life to the Lord and got really committed to the Lord, or so we thought. They said, I want to clean the church for you. And that person came and cleaned that church for over a year. It may have been a year and a half. Cleaned the church faithfully, twice a week, every week. Came and cleaned the church just as a service to the Lord. I was just like, wow, that is so cool, God. They were so dedicated and faithful to do it. And then there came a time when we were coming up on the Christmas season. They said, this person came to me and they said, I believe the Lord's put in my heart to do this Christmas program. And they worked on it, put it all together, involved the children and youth and other people and put it all together. And they really believe in God for a lot of people to get saved. And it didn't go just like they thought it would, I don't guess. To make a long story a little bit shorter, that person quit coming to church. They quit doing anything. Just quit coming to church altogether. Well, naturally, as a pastor, I went and talked to them and tried to talk to them at least. Didn't really get anywhere. And I began to feel like maybe I had hurt them somehow. I had said something, done something, hadn't done something I should have done, and tried earnestly to talk to them to try to restore and fix whatever was wrong. But however it happened, and I still to this day don't really know why, but I do know what the bottom line was. Their commitment was shallow. Because whatever it was, whether it was because they had been offended by something that happened, or whether it was because the Christmas program didn't turn out the way that they thought it would, there weren't 100 people getting saved, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, it caused them, when that time of testing came, they fell away. And I'll tell you, in our lives, it goes that way a lot of the time. That things don't go the way we thought they should. Some people get offended and go from church to church. They always feel led to leave and go to another church and feel led to go to another church. You know what we call that when you always feel led? That's lead poisoning, and it'll stop you from being fruitful. Jesus is still the same and His Word is still the same. He didn't fail you. He didn't let you down. Now, Peter is a great example for us to look at this morning because he was a guy that was always excited and yet always up and down. I mean, Peter was one of those that no doubt received the Word with joy. I mean, this guy would get excited about every event and everything that happened. And he thought that his commitment was deep. He told the Lord, he said, I'm ready to die for you. Now that's commitment. I'm ready to die for you, Lord. But when they came to take Jesus, and Peter stepped up with a sword, listen, he cut a man's ear off. I don't think he was going for an ear, but that's what he got. Maybe the guy ducked just right. But he cut a man's ear off, and Jesus told him, he said, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup my Father has given me?" And right there at that moment, I believe that's where Peter was offended. That was his test. That was the trial of his faith. He thought that he would die for the Lord, and yet now, when Jesus has corrected him, what happens? He runs away, and he ends up denying the Lord three times. He says, "I don't know the man." What kind of commitment is that? What kind of love is that? What devotion is that? To say, "I'll die for you," but then the next day you're saying, "I don't even know him." That's shallow, shallow commitment. It offended Peter. You know why? That's not how he thought it was supposed to go. Now listen to me right now. When things don't turn out the way you thought they should, when it doesn't go the way you thought it was supposed to go, you have a choice to keep your commitment to God and to trust Him, to hang on to Jesus, or to back away, to be offended. Jesus said, "They fall away." See, if we've been shallowed our commitment and devotion, it wasn't the end of the story for Peter. And it doesn't have to be the end of the story for us either. We got to have roots to see the Word bring its fruit in our life. We got to get the Word deep down enough in our heart so that when the heat comes, there's something there to draw from deep down inside. Now, how can you have a heart where the roots go deep? First of all, you got to have real commitment. See, a lot of people talk about commitment, but they're not really fully committed. They say they are, but the truth is they're more committed to their jobs. They're more committed to their families. Oh, pastor, now wait a minute. Family's important. It sure is. Man, I'll preach that. But Jesus said that if you don't hate your father, mother, wife, brother, sister, children, your own life, for my sake and the gospel's, you can't be my disciple. You can't put your family before God and expect that you're going to see the impact, the results of the Word of God in and through your life. They say, "Well, you don't understand, Pastor. We got to go do this and run the kids over here, and I got to take care of that. I'm too busy to do anything for God." They're more committed to their leisure, to their own pleasure. And it's evidenced by their life. It's not what you say, "Oh Lord, I totally commit my life to you." No, it is evidenced by what you do with your life. And I tell you, there's a lot of shallow Christianity. There's a lot of big talk going on, but when it comes to really living for God and serving God, being willing to lay down your life for the gospel's sake, we're just like Peter was. We say, "Oh, I'd die for you. As long as everything goes my way and it doesn't put any demands, it doesn't cost me anything, all right?" We want to do something for God. We just don't have time. And the reason we don't have time is because everything else is more important. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, it's amazing to me that people go to a rock concert, spend $100 per ticket and pay for parking and this and that, or they'll go to some big professional sports event that costs more than that. And then they'll come to church and say, "Praise the Lord, here's my $2 for the Lord. Hallelujah." Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You can talk about commitment, you can talk about love, you can talk about your devotion to the Lord, but it's evidence, not to me, but to the Lord, by what you do with your life. I'm telling you, there's a lot of shallow commitment in churches today. And that's why we don't see the results and the fruit of the Word in our lives. Takes a wholehearted commitment. You want deep roots in your life that'll produce a harvest, you got to totally commit your heart to the Lord. You got to have a commitment that goes to the bottom of your heart. To have roots, you got to pray. Prayer is our communication with the Lord. It is our relationship with Him. In John 15:6, Jesus says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and they're burned." Listen, if we don't abide in the Lord, if we don't have a real relationship with Jesus, we're not going to make it. We're not going to make it when the day of testing comes. Without prayer, there's no way you can live a Christian life. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But right there in John 15, Jesus tells us, apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't make it without prayer. Prayer is how we can water the seed of the Word of God in our heart. You know, Jesus said that seed that was sown on the rocky soil, it has no moisture. But we can water that seed of the Word of God in prayer. Jesus said, "Those with shallow hearts fall away when they're tested." We were talking about Peter. The same word that's translated tested there in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 is also given where the Bible is telling us about the Garden of Gethsemane. Just before they came to take Jesus away, in Luke 22:40, this is what he says to the disciples, and Peter was one of the ones that was standing right there. He says, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And the same Greek word that's translated tested there in the parable of the sower, Luke chapter 8, here in Luke 22 is translated as temptation. Pray so that you won't fall into temptation. When you're tested, that you're going to be able to stand. You see, we can't wait until we're in the heat of the battle and then say, "Oh, I better pray." No, you should pray then. But we need to be a people of prayer. We need to have a prayer life and have some deep roots so that when the day of testing comes, we're ready. He repeats it in verse 46 of that same chapter. He says, "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." I'm telling you, you won't make it through the hard times without prayer. Prayer gives you roots. How do you get roots? I tell you, you don't just hear the Word of God and receive it. You got to get it down deep inside. Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. It's a great parallel to the parable of the sower. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." The law of the Lord, it's talking about the seed of the Word of God. He says, "He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season." You see, here again, it brings forth fruit. How does it do that? Well, he talks about being planted by the streams of water. You see, this time there is moisture and it brings forth fruit. That tree that's planted by the streams of water, it has roots that go down by that stream and draw from that water. And it doesn't matter what's going on. If there's been a terrible drought, it's still going to be able to draw water, moisture, and still bring forth a harvest. And you see, in our lives, when we meditate the Word of God, He says He meditates therein day and night. If we meditate the Word of God, we're going to be putting roots deep down where there's moisture, where our lives will always produce what the seed of the Word of God is supposed to produce in us. And whose leaf does not wither, whatever he does prospers. Isn't that just the most amazing promise? Whatever he does prospers. How do you get that? You stay in the Word. Meditate therein day and night. Now, to meditate sometimes in our culture today has just kind of become a strange thing, a weird thing, but it simply means to go over it and over it and over it, to mull over it. The Hebrew word for meditate means to mutter it. Sometimes it, you know, you're just going over and over the word and you just begin to speak it out of your mouth. You're just saying it to yourself over and over. But as you meditate the word, there's something that happens. It's one thing when you heard the preacher say it or you read over it quickly in the scripture. It's an altogether different thing when you take that word and you begin to think on it and go over it and over it throughout your day. Something's happening. It's getting roots down inside, deep down inside your heart that are going to last through the difficult times. You got to get that word deep down inside. Get roots. Don't be a shallow believer. Now I want to close with another story about Peter. After the resurrection, Peter knows Jesus is risen. He's already seen him. He knows that he is risen from the dead. Wouldn't that just rock your world? To have been through that, to see Jesus die, and now you know that he's alive. So what is Peter doing? Is he out shouting it to the world? No, because he's so wishy-washy. He's back out on the lake doing what he used to do, catching fish. And in John 21, Jesus shows up on the shore, and when Peter realizes it's the Lord, he dives in the water. That's just Peter, man. He was all out, whichever direction he was going. He's swimming in the shore. And there on the shore, he has a conversation with Jesus that changed him forever. I believe this is where he got rid of that old shallow heart, being wishy-washy and up and down. John 21, beginning with verse 15, Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonah. I think there's something to the fact that he didn't call him Peter. Simon the reed, tossed to and fro. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He's talking about the fish. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. He said, you know that I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You know all things. Why is Jesus asking him a question that he already knows the answer to? I mean, Peter just every time he said, Lord, you know I love you. The last time he said, you know all things. You know I love you. Why is he asking him? He's not asking him. Jesus is not asking him for his own benefit. He's asking him to solidify Simon's commitment, his devotion, his love. Do you love me? You know I love you. He is asking him to settle it once and for all, his commitment and his service to the Lord. Feed my sheep. And I tell you, some of us need to hear that same examination of the Holy Spirit this morning. Do you love me? Do this. Do you love me? He goes on and he tells him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. When he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. That's how it all began for Peter. Follow me. And here he is at the end, and Jesus is saying it to him again. Follow me. He told him it's going to cost you. It's not going to be easy. Now follow me. And I'm telling you this morning that if you truly follow the Lord wholeheartedly, there's going to be some difficult times. There's going to be some times when it costs you. But I'm also going to tell you this, that you're going to be blessed. You're going to see the seed of the Word of God produce a harvest of an abundant life in your life. If you'll just totally and completely commit yourself to God, let those roots of commitment, they got to go down into the bottom of your heart. You get back into the Word, begin to dig into the Word, realize that as you do, you're putting roots deep down. You spend time with the Lord in prayer and you abide in Him. You're developing roots that will keep you, that your faith will stand, that the Word of God is still going to produce in your life, no matter what it looks like, no matter what's going on in the world around you. You're going to prosper in whatever you do. One of those definitions for the word saved, do well. You're going to do well. God's going to bring you through. I want you to stand with me. And as we pray this morning, our prayer partners are going to come, our worship team. I just encourage you, let the Holy Spirit do a work in your heart this morning. Lord, none of us this morning wants to say, admit, or even think that maybe we've been shallow in some way in our Christian walk. But Lord, I know the truth is that all of us have been there at some time in some way. And Lord, I pray that today, that just as you changed Peter, that you change us. Lord, we may have been wishy-washy at times and up and down and in and out. I pray that today, that our faith would be strengthened. Lord, I pray that today the Holy Spirit would challenge us and draw us into that deeper commitment that nothing can shake. No one, no thing, no devil, nothing can separate us from your love. And Father, I thank you for the victory that's ours through our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that those that have been struggling with a wholehearted commitment, I pray, Father, today that they'll find in their heart a way to completely trust you with their life. Lord, that those that are struggling in their prayer life will find it a necessity, Lord, just as much as they need air, they need to pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us a fresh hunger for your word. Lord, that our walk and commitment to you would not be shallow, but deepened every day by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it. Amen, amen. I just encourage you to come for prayer. If the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you this morning and you want to agree together with somebody in prayer, today's a good day to make that fresh commitment to the Lord. Today's a good day to begin a new devotional life and just commit yourself to do that. Today's a good day to answer the call of God on your life when Jesus keeps saying to Peter, "Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." Maybe there's a call that the Spirit is reminding you of this morning. And so as we worship the Lord for just a few moments, I just encourage you to come. One of these prayer partners would be glad to pray with you. So you step out and come as we worship.